This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Daryl and Hanif with you tonight on The Pulse. Just to recap the stories on the program so far, at the top of the hour, we did a story on last week's Grammys and the Grammys in general, actually. I'm asking you the question, if it's still relevant, give us your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
We also paid tribute to Lou Ottens, the creator or the inventor of the cassette tape, one of the greatest musical inventions ever, I think. Yeah, but Lou Ottens is also responsible for the creation of this compact disc.
That's right. Rest in peace, Lou. Right, we've come on to a quick fire news segment that we like to call
By the Way. Musicians and people in the music industry participated in coordinated protests at Spotify offices across the world a couple of days ago to call for increased transparency in the company's business practices and end to lawsuit filed against artists and a user-centric payment model that pays a cent per stream, among others. The protest was organized by the Union of Musicians and Allied Workers and took place in 10 American cities and 24 cities globally in Australia, Europe, Asia, and Central and South America. The campaign called Justice at Spotify was launched late last year, and the petition that they launched has managed to garner 28,000 signatures from musicians and music industry workers. According to the organizer of the union, Mary Regalado, and I quote, Spotify has long mistreated music workers, but the pandemic has put the exploitation into stark relief. The company has tripled in value during the pandemic while failing to increase its payment rates to artists by even a fraction of a penny. Musicians all over the world are unemployed right now, while the tech giants dominating the industry take in billions. Music work is labor, and we are asking to be paid fairly for that labor. While Spotify is responsible for most of the demands made by the group UMEW, the penny per stream concept that they're calling for would require support from record labels, owners of the rights to the majority of songs in their library. Now, as we know, Daryl, the existing system favors musicians with a very large following and is pretty oppressive for the smaller musicians out there. Mm-hmm. So in fact, according to a study in Finland in 2017, the current prorata system used by Spotify will benefit songs from the most popular artists. That's the top 0.4% that collected 9.9% of royalties. Whereas if they were to apply this user-centric model, these same songs would collect just 5.6% of revenues. Spotify then responded by saying that the user-centric payment model touted might not be sustainable as it would inflate Spotify's administrative costs to the point that it would eliminate any potential revenue gains for less popular artists. Though they did make this claim without any evidence. So yeah, this has been a long-standing problem, and I'm glad to see musicians protesting now. And we'll see whether Spotify will budge.
Yeah, I think the last time we were on the program, we did pretty much the same story, but on SoundCloud and how they managed to switch to the user-centric model. So hopefully Spotify will follow suit. Also, by the way, Facebook video views will now start counting towards the Billboard chart. So licensed music videos posted directly to the artist's Facebook page and shared by friends and family or people of the public, fans will begin counting towards the weekly Billboard charts. The change will become effective beginning with the tracking week running Friday, March the 12th through Thursday, March the 18th, which would feed the charts dated March 27, 2021. Many artists had their own Facebook pages for years now, but now with this change, artists will have the ability to have their official videos automatically uploaded by Facebook when they are received from the artist's label. Facebook tells Billboard that the discovery and sharing of music videos on the platform is fostered in a variety of ways. New releases are now displayed in the user's newsfeed based on the artist and the labels they follow. So pretty much like Spotify when you're listening, or YouTube, right? When you're listening to something, they actually get recommendations of things like that you're listening to, which is pretty interesting. In Facebook Watch, videos are surfaced according to the artist a user follows, with the experience personalized over time based on the content they engaged in. So now Facebook is really coming into, I guess, the music market. I never thought of using Facebook for music, but with this little with this latest change, we'll see.
Yep, it's quite interesting. And it's interesting to see that they're keeping up with time as well,
for
especially for Billboard, you know, taking into factor that a lot of people are using Facebook to listen to music.
For sure,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, by the way, Massive Attack's front person Robert Del Naha is upset that the music industry is making a lot of pledges to go green, but it's not doing much to reduce its carbon footprint. In his conversation with the MPs from House of Commons, Digital, Culture, Media and Sport Committee, he said that it's an embarrassment that artists wear climate t-shirt and weaves placard, but at the same time performs in a high carbon, high polluting sector. He calls for people to be working together to find collective solutions and acknowledge that performers have very little control over organization of gigs and festivals, including how ticket holders travel to venues and how these events are powered. Of course, this is a concern for many bands. Radiohead has a very strict requirements when it comes to touring and performing at live venues. While in 2019, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin said that they would not tour until they had worked out how to do so sustainably. But according to Robert, what Coldplay is now doing is not the answer, saying that everyone knows that's not the solution. One band stopping touring, even all bands stopping touring, isn't the solution. Culture is important. Massive Attack is scheduled to perform a low carbon gig in Liverpool, collaborating with Tyndall Centre for Climate Change Research to track and reduce emissions from live events.
Great. Yeah. Also, by the way, two Fridays ago, Drake released Scary Hours 2, which is a new three-song EP designed to prepare the way for his long-awaited Certified Lover Boy album. Three songs from Scary Hours 2 have monopolized the top three in the Billboard charts. What's next is at number one, becoming Drake's sixth number one hit as a lead artist and eighth overall. Once a Needs enters at two and Lemon Pepper Freestyle starts out at three. Drake becomes the first artist to debut songs at number one, two and three simultaneously and joins the Beatles and Ariana Grande as the only artist to occupy the top three spots all at once. This release was supposed to be, in Drake's words, a warm-up thing to his next masterpiece, but for Drake fans, this certainly does build enough hype for the main event. Certified Lover Boy, his sixth LP, was set for January 2021, but was postponed after Drake injured his knee. Not sure what happened there. So it will be released sometime this year. So do look out for it if you're a Drake fan. We're about to get out of here and we have a couple more tracks for you. So do stay tuned. Daryl and Han Hufil on The Pulse, only here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.